Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Now, to the people of a sleepy Cotswold village in wartime Britain, Mrs. Burton was the neighbour who baked them scones. To her handlers in Moscow, she was Colonel Kaczynski of the Red Army. To tell us the incredible story of Agent Sonia, welcome to the show, Ben McIntyre.
Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. I found this incredible. It seems highly unbelievable, but I know it's true. And ironically, she was very good at making scones as well.
She was an extraordinary person. I promise you every word of this is true. It does sound like something out of fiction, and that's possibly because Ursula Kaczynski, the woman we're talking about, to give her her maiden name, was herself a novelist, although she never made anything up, but she had an incredibly acute sense of her own drama, which took her on this amazing espionage odyssey around the world, and as you say, ending up in the tiny village of Great Rollright.
So we're talking about the Second World War, we're talking about 1942, and as you quite rightly say, Ursula Kaczynski, she was a German Jew, I believe.
That's right. She was born in Berlin just before the First World War, and she grew up in that kind of tumultuous period between the wars in Germany where the extreme right wing was on the march, the fascists were gaining power, and communism was also growing, and from Ursula's point of view, one that was a very respectable intellectual position to take. She believed that the only people opposing the fascists were the communists. And so she joined the Communist Party and remained a dedicated communist until the day she died. I mean, for us these days, that seems like a sort of a mistake in history, if you like, that she ended up on the wrong side of history. And in many ways, she did. But actually, the point about Ursula is that she was a ferocious anti-fascist. She wanted to destroy the Nazi Party. And for the first half of her intelligence career, that's exactly what she tried to do.
She kept this up. As we say, she doesn't come across as a typical spy, but she was also a wife. She was a mother of three. She regularly attended the village church. And I guess that's why nobody had a clue, because she just wasn't your typical spy.
Absolutely. Well, she was a woman, you know, and to that extent, she is unique in my experience of intelligence of the 20th century, in that she was a highly trained female intelligence officer. There are lots of female spies, women spies around, but really very, very few trained intelligence operatives. So for Ursula, this was a career arrangement. This was her vocation. But you put your finger on it, there was a kind of struggle at the center of her life, which was how to reconcile being an ideologically committed spy at the same time as being a wife and a mother and a housewife and baking her excellent scones in Great Rollright. But it has to be said, Ursula was ruthless in exploiting her most important asset, and that, believe it or not, was her gender.
Mm-hmm.
She was being a woman gave her a perfect disguise. Even when MI5 came hunting, and my goodness, they came hunting, they could not believe that a woman baking birthday cakes and living this rural life could possibly be a highly trained Soviet intelligence agent who had, in fact, in the back garden, in the privy, built a highly powerful radio transmitter with which she was sending the secrets of the atomic bomb to Moscow. They just couldn't believe that a woman would be doing that.
It's incredible. I was reading about that. She put her children to bed like a normal mother would and then went in the garden and was in contact, tuned into Moscow.
That's right. I mean, her children, it was quite amusing me in later life, because they knew absolutely nothing about this until they were in their 30s and 40s, often wondered why their mother would take an afternoon nap every day. They couldn't work out. No other mothers in the village of Great Rollright seemed to need to sleep in the afternoons. Well, the answer was that Ursula had been up most of the night sending radio transmissions to Moscow, coding and decoding what was coming in. So, you know, she had a good reason for wanting to go to bed. But the children couldn't work out why she seemed so exhausted all the time, partly, obviously, because she was running this double life.
So when her children found out, I mean, what a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, this is the price that comes with espionage. Secrets are very dangerous things, I think, and they are addictive. Once you are in this world, it's very hard to get out of the espionage world. And Ursula's life was filled with secrets that she kept from everybody, including her husbands and her children and so on. And I think when they did discover in later life, it was really very hard on the children. And I got to know two of the three surviving children very well, the two boys, the daughters died very young. And I got to know them, and I remember vividly a conversation I had with one of them, the elder one, Michael, just before he died earlier this year. He was in his 90s. And I said, you know, what was it like living in a world that you discovered subsequently was kind of riddled with secrecy and sort of deception, if you like, that your mother was someone that you hadn't really known? And he said, it was very touching, actually. He said, look, I've been married and divorced three times. Perhaps the problem is that I never really learned how to trust anybody. Mm. And I thought that was a really rather poignant insight into the effect that this stuff can have. And it troubled her, you know, right until her dying day. I mean, she very, very close to her own death, she wrote, you know, I wonder if I have been a good spy but a bad mother.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, she had to stay true to herself, but she was actually putting her husband and her children's lives at risk, wasn't she? At risk.
Oh, absolutely. It wasn't just her own life that was in jeopardy. You know, she was, you know, if she'd been caught, a large part of her wartime work was done in Switzerland, where she was running spies into the Nazi Reich. Incredibly dangerous thing to do. There were spies throughout Switzerland. The Gestapo was on her tail. If she'd been caught, it wouldn't just have been her life that was in jeopardy. The entire family would have been shipped back to Germany, and they would have ended up certainly in the camp. So, you know, it wasn't just her own life she was risking. But we have to be a little careful here, I think, about sort of slight double standards. I think there is some sense that we are asking questions of Ursula as a woman that we wouldn't necessarily ask of a man. You know, the whole question of, you know, was she a good mother? Was she, you know, was she loyal to her children? There are many spies in history, and I've written books about many of them. We don't often ask the question of a man, you know, was he putting his family at risk this way? And the other thing to think about, of course, is that, you know, this was a time of intense ideological fury and collision. And we celebrate, don't we, sort of, you know, the French resistance heroes and heroines who were prepared to put their lives on the line, you know, to battle Nazism, you know, in occupied France. And yet those people were also putting their families at risk. You know, they were also fully aware that if they were caught and executed, their entire families would be wiped out as well. So, you know, I think it's a difficult thing for us to deal with in the 21st century. But nonetheless, what I've tried to do is to present Sonia's life not as some kind of moral fable of black and white and good and evil, but in context, you know, and to ask the question, I hope, you know, what would you do?
Yeah, people can make their own mind up, can't you? You've given the facts.
Well, I hope so. You know, what I try not to do in these books is to offer a kind of easy sort of moral judgment on the past. I don't think the past really, I don't think history, that's not what history is for. It's not there to teach us lessons about how to live. But it's there to kind of try to explain why people behaved in a certain way at a certain time. And that's what interests me about history, is the sort of the personal and the character and that whole question. And Ursula had extraordinary qualities. I mean, she was fantastically brave. She was amazingly resourceful. You know, she was a brilliant technician apart from anything else. She was also very funny, a very good writer, very good company. But, you know, at the same time, she was an utterly committed communist, dedicated to an appalling regime. You know, she served Stalinism. The extent to which she knew what Stalinism was really doing is a debatable point. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, she was backing a brutal, repressive, murderous regime, you know, and that is a fact. And she continued to justify that until her dying day.
And did you say, Ben, that her husband didn't know either?
No. The first husband didn't know. She had three children by three different men. Oh. Her love life was extremely exciting. Her first husband didn't know, but she then recruited him into Soviet intelligence. So the first husband became, in effect, her sub-agent. The second lover was, who didn't become her husband, was himself already a Soviet spy. And the third one was someone that she recruited, a British communist, who also became a spy. So in the end, they were all drawn into her net, if you like, with different effects. Some of them very happily and some of them absolutely tragically.
Yeah, because I was reading that this her only surviving son, I guess the one you were talking about earlier, said he used to remember his father whispering in his ear, "Someday you will know."
Yes, I mean, that must be a terrible thing to grow up with, don't you think? The feeling that there is a sort of suspended secret awaiting you somewhere down the line. I mean, they're very conflicted about their mother. They loved her. They're very proud of her in lots of ways. And yet I think all of them have said in different ways, we never were quite sure that we really knew her. She was sort of unknowable, I think, in some ways. I think if you live with secrets all the time, if you live a double life like this, your sense of reality probably does get eroded after a while.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. She is, again, incredible. This is the woman that was baking scones and going to church. But she was part of the plan to assassinate, the planning an assassination attempt on Hitler's life in Switzerland, apparently.
Well, that's right. This was one of the most extraordinary discoveries of this book, really, was that when she was operating in Switzerland, and her main job was as a radio operator to ferry secrets that were being effectively stolen by anti-Nazi agents inside the Reich, and they would cross over into Switzerland and she would send them back to Moscow. She also recruited her own agents. She recruited two Englishmen, both of whom had fought in the Spanish Civil War, both of whom were communists, and she sent them into Nazi Germany. This was before the outbreak of war in 1939, to gather intelligence and to look for sabotage targets. And they came back to her and said, look, we've taken to taking lunch in a particular restaurant in Munich called the Osteria Bavaria. And Hitler dines there every time he's in Munich. This is a perfect opportunity to assassinate him. And so she contacted Moscow and obtained immediate approval for this plan. And the idea was that they were going to take a brief. She was also, she knew how to build bombs, Ursula. She'd been trained in bomb making. And they built a bomb, which was going to be taken in a briefcase and put next door to the very thin partition that separated Hitler from the rest of the other diners in this particular restaurant. And they were going to blow him to smithereens. And as a plan, there were many assassination plots against Hitler over the years. This is the one, in my view, that had most chance of succeeding. And they were weeks away from putting it into operation when the infamous Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, the deal between Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, between Stalin and Hitler, as a sort of non-aggression pact, was forged, and Ursula was told to call off the plan immediately. Cease all operations against Germany, she was instructed. And so they were weeks away from putting this operation into action before it was pulled off.
Crikey. It's amazing. What eventually happened then? When was her cover blown?
Well, I won't give too much of the story away, but Ursula did come under suspicion from MI5. I mean, they were slowly but surely honing in on her. And that was actually thanks to another extraordinary woman who operated within MI5. She was one of the very few senior counterintelligence officers. Her name was Millicent Baggett, which I always thought was a wonderful name.
Yeah.
And she was the model for Connie Sachs in the John le Carré stories. John le Carré, David Cornwell, worked with her in MI5. And she was the only one who was saying, look, you need to get onto Ursula. You need. I think there's something going on here. So MI5 was circling, and they came very, very close to nabbing her. In fact, they were probably only a few weeks away from doing so when Klaus Fuchs, her main agent, the atomic weapons researcher and physicist who had fed her these incredible secrets over the years, he was finally arrested. And she realized that very soon they were going to come calling for her. So she made her escape. I won't tell your listeners how she did it, but she got out.
Right.
And she ended up in East Germany, where she a communist East Germany, where she completely reinvented herself as someone new. She became Ruth Werner. She became a highly successful author of children's novels far more famous. They called her the Enid Blyton of East Germany. I mean, she became more famous as a writer than she would ever become as a spy.
Crikey, what a story. And why has this story never been told before?
Well, I think it's partly to do with kind of ingrained sexism in some ways. I think she's been constantly kind of overlooked in the sort of history of these things because she was a woman. I do think that's part of it. Also, she was extremely discreet about what she had done. She did write a memoir in the 1970s that was published in East Germany, but it was a very careful document that didn't give away a huge amount and was actively misleading in parts. It was really a propaganda document. But the original manuscript that she wrote for that book, which was, you know, completely sort of rewritten by the Stasi, the original manuscript is in the Stasi archive. And I managed to find it. So it tells you everything that the Stasi didn't want you to know. And it's utterly fascinating. So that's partly the reason, I think, that really the sources have remained hidden for decades. And that goes of the British sources, too. I mean, it's only in the last few years that MI5 has begun declassifying its archives, actually making public things that were meant to be secret. And that includes the hunt for Agent Sonia. So I was able to benefit from those, too.
How wonderful. Did she live to a ripe old age?
She lived to the age of 91. Yeah. Mm. And her story is extraordinary. I mean, she was very young when the Bolshevik Revolution took place and very old when the Berlin Wall came down. So in lots of ways, her story really is the entire story of communism.
It's a great story. I'm so glad you've written it. It's called Agent Sonia, a lover, mother, soldier and spy by Ben McIntyre, who we're speaking to now. And we're selling it right now on our website. Ben, I know you've written lots of other similar sort of books. Last year, The Spy and the Traitor, for example. Do you have a website if people want to find out more?
Absolutely. www.benmcintyre.com. Absolutely. No, it's all on there.
Great stuff. It's been an absolute delight chatting to you. I feel like I know Agent Sonia personally.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.